Larry Mark is, I think he's in Florida tonight. It's the Larry Larry Show. Hanson, Larry Hanson, are you there?
I am here, Larry.
You are hearing me loud and clear?
Yes, sir.
And I am so receiving your beautiful voice over the airwaves.
Perfect.
So, I don't know what's going on down there, but it's a beautiful day up here. We have a warm week coming up. I still can't find the crappies. It's just tulipies, a couple walleyes. I'm going to have to head, there's a lake about 50 miles south of here that has a lot of sunfish and crappie in it, but I don't know if I can get in a parking lot. So before I rig up my snowmobile and all that stuff, I better drive my car down there to look.
Let's see if it's been plowed out or melted down or...
You know, up here, especially on the Canadian side, there's no room to turn around on the axis even in the summertime, but in the wintertime, it's a one-way street. You can't, you get down there with a trailer, you're done. Mm-hmm. And some of the ramps are so, like the hills.
Steep.
Like there's one ramp, it's on Rainy Lake, but it's on the Canadian side. It's like a 30-degree hill you got to go down. And when you get to the bottom, you ain't backing out. It's about a 150-yard driveway, you know. You're not backing up that hill. So I always drive ahead of time with just the truck.
Smart.
And I scouted that one out a couple weeks ago, and I knew I can't go back, I mean, until the snow melts.
And down here, it's beautiful, Larry. The snow is disappearing fast. And but fishing's great, so let's just start there. So
well, that's so precious.
Yeah,
precious.
Right.
I can't find these giant crappies, and you're saying the fishing is great.
Yeah, it is.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
When has life been fair?
Right. Exactly. Right. Yes.
It's too bad tulipies aren't good eating.
Fun to catch though.
I don't even know. You know why?
Why?
Because they're so slimy, you can't unhook them. You grab them, you know, you there's no way to grab. You can't grab them by the lip, right, because it'll tear the lip right off.
Yeah.
Not to mention that their lips are, you know, it's like a sunfish mouth, a little bit bigger than a sunfish, right? And you can't, so you get the slime on your hands, you can't get it off.
That smell. Yeah. And the hole's full of scales and
yeah,
stuff.
Scales. And you probably lose, like I'm hooking them, I'm using a spoon. With a minnow head, for the most part, because they like something very small. So it's small treble hook, and you probably lose 50% of them on the way up because they fight so goofy, you know. And so anyway, no, I don't care to catch 100 of those a day.
Okay. I think it's fun, though. Light line, you know, noodle rod, and I just think it's fun.
Well, we used to do it back in the olden days when there was a lot of them in Lake Mille Lacs.
Yep, that's where I did it at, Larry.
But, you know, if you don't smoke them, again, ice fishing, catch and release, that don't go hand in hand with me. Now,
no.
Don't get me wrong, I'm catching crappies, I'm releasing most of them if I'm in shallow enough water to release them, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother ball game, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
It's not, yeah. So that's not really my belly whack.
No, but it's still fun. And the people I were with, they would smoke them. So.
Well, for all I know, there are some people that would probably fry them and say they're good.
Okay.
Because I had a friend like that, Jerry, my buddy Jerry. It didn't matter. That'll fry. Didn't matter what kind of. That'll fry, Larry. Don't throw that back. That'll fry.
Yeah, there's people like that, though. Everything's edible, right?
That's actually good. I'm not knocking it, but, you know.
Hey, Larry, I know you're on the internet a lot. Have you seen that video of somebody, like, pulling fish out of a hole in the ground with Mentos and Coke? No. Have you seen that video? No?
You mean it's under a manhole cover?
No, it's like a literal, like just like a hole in the ground. It was why it was blowing my mind. I don't know where these fish are coming from, and it was like a bunch coming out of this little hole, maybe... I don't know, like 8 inches round and dirt in the ground. Just keep an eye out for that one.
it has to be a pipe that goes to a sewer or something.
Something like that. Or it could just be internet trickery. You know how you people are.
Well, I didn't watch it, but I've seen a lot of them where a guy opened. I just watched one the other day. It was a manhole. Well, it was actually a grill. The grill gate, sewer system. And it was connected to the ocean. It was in Florida someplace. And that guy dropped his lure down in there, and I'll be danged if he didn't start catching fish.
Well, in this video, like, they were literally just, like, dropping Mentos, you know, like the little breath mint kind of thing, into this hole. The water was kind of, like, starting to fizz and bubble up, and then fish were just almost, like, jumping out of the hole. It was weird. But I don't know. I just don't understand what's going on there.
No, I don't either. They weren't dropping little dynamite sticks down or anything
No, yeah.
I don't know, but if I see it, I'll let you know, pal.
Cool.
It'll be a mystery till then.
Yep.
So anyway, folks, you can join in anytime you want to. We really don't care what the subject would be. We prefer fishing. Politics a little bit of, remember, people... the left is after our guns. I mean, follow your politics, read the papers, watch what bills are before the House of Representatives both in the state and all that stuff. Be politically aware because there are people that want. Other than that, Larry, what do you think is going on here? Well, is fishing part, whatever.
Last week you brought up the Panoptics thing by Garmin.
Yes.
Okay. So on Friday's trip, one of the gentlemen brought his, okay? And it was pretty interesting because I got more chance to use it and be around it.
Yeah.
So I have actually 35 people fishing out of 8 houses, all right? So the house that they were in, they weren't doing very good, but they aimed it and like 75 feet away, so there would be 2 more houses. This was the house that was just whacking and stacking sunfish. And that was,
they could see it.
Yeah.
They could see it.
Yeah.
So it was like, say, 50 feet away, whatever.
Yes. Yeah, whatever it was, yep.
So they aimed it over that way, and they could see the bluegills and the whatever was down there from there.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's what they're for.
Right.
That's exactly what they're for.
Yeah. So it was just kind of, well, this is what we talked about last week, and this one, here it is. You know?
I know. You know, you can do that. You can actually do that with a flasher.
Turn it
horizontally? You can do it. Yes, you could do it with any kind of a liquid crystal, but the interpretation is totally different with the live scope. That's actually what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You can clearly see because the fish are swimming around, where you would just see on a flasher, you would just see lines going off and on. But you could still do it. You could still see those fish signals. Mm-hmm. But it could be a clump of junk, algae, where with this live scope, if it's swimming, it's fish, right?
They were wiggling.
Okay. Yeah, they were wiggling, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I'm probably going to get one.
Mm-hmm.
I decided about a month ago, and I start looking into it. You know, but let's talk about that.
Sure.
Because I've been thinking about that quite a bit for the last couple of years. When it first came out last year, I got pretty close to pulling the trigger myself on that particular unit last year. Folks, if you're ice fishing, all right, just a flasher like the FLX-28 that I use, and you know, all the Vexlars, if any fish comes below your hole, you see them. I mean, you know they're fish because that wasn't there a minute ago, and now it's there. You got the bottom, and then anything comes between you and the bottom, there's a line that goes on your, you know, red line or white line, whatever whatever kind of depth finder you're using. So, okay, now... The advantage of a camera is that you can see the fish as they come in and you can literally watch them bite. A definite advantage over a flasher or this live scope, because I can see their mouth open and close, and I can, especially with bluegills, okay? So I'll catch a few more fish. well, a bluegill or a crappie bites it, spits it out so quick that you can hardly adjust to it. You know what I'm talking about, Larry?
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, now think about all the years you've used a flasher. You see the fish come in. You see your lure. All of a sudden, the fish is right covering up the lure. You have the lure line, and all of a sudden, the fish has covered it up. Okay, now you know he's either ready to bite or he's just right up against it. Okay? Well, a lot of times, they'll slowly back up and swim away.
A lot of times,
they'll slowly back up. Now, when you get that happening, you move the jig up and down, you pull it all the way, drop it back down. Sometimes you'll get them to come back. You can guess by experience how aggressive that fish really is. The same as almost looking at one. When one, like a sunfish comes into the hole, looks at your lure and his fins are going crazy up and down, you know, he's an active fish. You know, he's probably going to bite. He backs up and goes for a bit, you know. You can actually learn to do that with a flasher. You can see the same thing. Not quite as good as a camera. A camera is better than live scope. Mm-hmm. But you can't see far distances and all that stuff. Okay. So when we're talking about electronics and you have one of these live scope, well, it's a heck of a lot of fun. But I can just tell you this with my flasher, I can, as far as actually seeing what I need to see, I'll catch just as many fish. It's not unless I can spot a school of fish, because there's two or three of us, and oh, there's a school of crappies right over there, then we can go cut holes. Yeah, that's an advantage. I could actually do that with a flasher if I had the right setup. Mm-hmm. Guys used to do that. You can scan around the edge, but it won't be as good as a live scope. Don't get me wrong, it won't be as clear.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the big advantage of it, is that you see them out a ways, you know. So, but only been around it once now, so it was just kind of fun to see, and then the people in that house went over to their house to see how that worked and got to see that. But in their houses, every house had cameras hooked up to a flat screen TV, so that makes it fun.
No. Oh, a camera in clear water, it's so much fun. They're a little tough to set them up, right? I mean, you know, it takes a little. I just don't mess with any of that stuff anymore because I really don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my personal opinion, getting older and getting lazier, done this, done that. I'm going to cut one hole and fish for 5 minutes, and then I may or may not move.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Back, you know, it depends on where I am. Exactly.
It all adds to the fun, and especially if people haven't fished before or haven't fished much or have never been on the ice before, it's a game changer for them when they can see fish on a screen. So.
Especially with the live, you're actually looking at the fish.
Yes.
You know, not a mark that's a fish.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, but it's even fun for first timers using a flasher. Once you explain it to them, you know, and you see, oh, that's your lure. Oh, really? And then all of a sudden, oh, what's that coming? Oh, that's a fish. Oh, yeah. It takes about a minute or two to figure out what you're looking at with a flasher if somebody's showing you what it is.
Right. Yep. You know. But it's all part of having fun, you know, so. And everybody thinks that, you know, just because you have a flasher, just because you have a camera, you know, that it, and then the panoptics now, that, you know, it's cheating or whatever. Well, no, you still got to have some basis of how to fish, correct? That's how I look at it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if they took away my flasher, you're not going to catch as many fish.
No, but you still can.
You still catch fish. You just won't catch as many.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you won't catch any because you're too lazy, because, you know, you got to work your bait if you're fishing crappies. You're in 30 feet of water. Well, are they going to be near the bottom or halfway up? Whatever. So, you know, usually you fish. The good rule of thumb back in the old days was when you're fishing crappies, you start 6 feet, Folks, most men's arm length is 6 inches. So you spread your arms out both and you take 6 feet of line at a time. Yep. So I'm down three arm lengths is 18 feet. So if I'm in 36 feet of water, I know I'm halfway to the bottom. So anyway, a good rule of thumb, we'd always start six for crappies. We'd start 6 feet off the bottom and then move up. Mm-hmm. So it literally now, if you do that, once you get your pattern, you can catch a lot of fish. But now you need to develop the sight, the watching your line. You can't take your eyes up, watching the tip of that rod, where with a flasher, you'll get warned. You'll see the fish come in, and you, oh, okay, there he is. You know, then right. So you're ready.
You're ready, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Big difference.
Big difference.
Well, hey, guys, let's take our first break.
Okay, sir. This is Bear Faction Fish Tales. We shall be right back.
Bring the outdoors home with you. Mark and Larry have more Bear Facts and Fish Tales for you. No fillet house needed on Bob Outdoors.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC. Mark your calendar for the next Crocodile Productions Gun and Knife Show at the Cato Ballroom, one day only on Saturday, March 7th. Doors open at 9 a.m. Admission is only $5 for adults. Kids under 12 get in free when accompanied by a responsible adult. Buy, sell, or trade guns, knives, military relics, even great-great-great-grandpa's old blunderbuss. All in one location. Visit CrocodileProductions.com or check out their Facebook page for more information. That's CrocodileProductions.com.
Larry here from my friends at Vexlar. They've been in business for over 60 years. They're a local company down in Bloomington, Minnesota. Anyway, I've been using their products for many, many years. In fact, the first ever FL8 I actually bought in 1987 still works. Right now, I'm using the top of their line, which is the FLX28. It's a five-color flasher, so you can adjust the colors that are easier for you to see. It has an automatic depth range and a digital readout. Now, with the color selector, because a lot of people are blind to the color red, I use white. Now, I'm not completely colorblind, but the white is easier for me to see. Now, they're, as I said, they're down in Bloomington, Minnesota. You can give them a call at 952-884-5291 or go online, vexlar.com, and that's the best way to see all their different products. As an example, they have, besides a whole line of different Vexlars, they have accessories there. They have sonar phones, underwater cameras, the K-drill. They have videos on ice fishing. Maybe you need extra batteries. Whatever it is, it's not all in the retail store. So do what I do. Go on Vexlar.com every once in a while in case you need anything. Or for sure, whatever you do, do not go ice fishing. By the way, my FLX28 also works on my boat as well. It's also on there in the summertime. That's Vexlar. Do not leave home without yours.
The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com.
Let's get back to the important stuff. Bear Facts and Fish Tales. Join the conversation by calling 763-450-0100 right now.
All right. We're back. Bear Facts and Fish Tales. Mark is taking a little time down on the... down near the Keys in Florida. Just got done catching a tarpon or something. I know. I hope he's good and tired so he hangs around here when he gets back. Larry Hansen is in the studio. helping me so I don't have to talk for 2 hours. Larry, before we go any, I just want to mention that it looks like it's probably going to be catch and release in the summertime for Lake Mille Lacs.
Right, that's what I read too, Larry.
Yeah, they didn't totally make up their mind, but, you know, it's really something when in Minnesota, we have this political issue. And that's all we can say about it, but I want to give you an idea. We're allotted this year 150,000 pounds. Now, that means that the public gets the lion's share. I believe it's 87,000 pounds, and the bands get 63,000 of that allotment. Now, I don't know how many band members come down, but I'll bet you it's right around 200.
Okay.
And I don't know how many licensed anglers go to Mille Lacs, but it would be closer to like 500,000, probably. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem fair to me. That's all I'm going to say about the Lake Mille Lacs deal, and we've been talking about it for years, but it's just the way it is.
That article in Outdoor News about the walleye regs was interesting, though. I didn't know the history on that. It goes back to like 1915 or something like that. It was like the first time they put restrictions.
Yeah, that was talking about the state walleye regulations and the fact that we're probably going to go to four. And so you used to be able to keep eight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it went down to six, and it was the history of it. Yeah, it is interesting. But, you know, back then, people didn't fish in the numbers they do now. And like on Lake Mille Lacs, they sure as hell weren't rowing out to the middle of that lake.
No, and they were fishing in suits, and women's wearing dresses back then.
Formal fishing.
Yeah. They did. I have pictures.
Sure. Well, they're sure. You know, back in the 50s, in 40s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, the launches would tow rowboats out to the middle of the lake, but they didn't know as many spots existed as really did since we went back with, you know, in other words, 50 years ago, they were fishing a 7 mile flat. If you know a lot about Mille Lacs, that's probably the most famous pile, hump. It's a hump. Just with a flat top on it, they're all over the lake, out in the middle. And when they start mapping the lake with electronics, there was a lot more than they knew of. So anyway, they'd haul boats out there, and then they'd pick them up on the way back in. So I would like to have done that. Can you see Larry being out there in a 16-foot rowboat, cedar strip?
And about 2 feet wide.
Yeah, and here comes a storm.
That'd
and
be
there's
terrifying.
Five of you that need to be towed in.
Towed in. Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
In other words, if you were 77 years old and you went out there in that rowboat, you better have a 20-year-old with you.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that reminds me of that. That was also, I think, a story in the Outdoor News this last week was talking about the importance of being able to contact people if you're out on the Great Lakes. Out boating or fishing or whatever out there. I think that even applies to like Mille Lacs. That's a big body of water. And if you are out there in a rowboat, yeah, you better have a means of contacting somebody else.
You know, anytime you go out, when you go out alone, I think about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up here, I mean, you know, if I go out, I tell my wife I'm going out, but, you know, I could be anywhere. I mean, you know, I don't know where I'm going to go.
Right.
I always say, I talk like this, you know, folks, I don't feel old, okay? But when you get older, you think a little bit about stuff like, all I want to know is if I ever get a heart attack and I have time, I'm going to drive that boat to shore.
Yeah.
So my boat don't crash on the rocks.
At least aim it towards shore and hit the throttle, you know, and then that way you'll get there eventually, hopefully.
And there's enough sandy beaches. I know where everyone is. If I can get there and beach it right up on the beach. So that's where you'd look for my body with the helicopter. You fly. Oh, good. Larry saved his boat. It's like, worth a lot of money.
Yeah, right.
I'm picturing like a weekend at Bernie's, kind of just flying up on the shoreline.
Yeah, Larry, that's coming for you, too.
It's coming.
It's coming for all of us.
You don't have to worry about on Lake Minnetonka.
No, but I let my wife know where I am when I leave at night.
How many times do you think pleasure boaters would whip by you before they checked on your lifeless body?
They probably wouldn't even care.
Yeah, probably.
You know, another dead body.
It's just that same boat we see every day, you know.
Yeah.
There he is. But, Larry, did you see the stuff about the Asian carp, what the U of M is trying to do?
No, tell me.
Okay.
Enlighten me.
Okay. They are going to genetically engineer.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that sounds good.
I know. Okay. So they are testing with a thing called a zebrafish. All right. So it basically has the same DNA as the carp. All right.
Where is that fish originate? What?
I do not know, Larry. That's all it talks about. It shows it. It's a little. It looks like a minnow, actually. Okay. So, anyway, what they're doing is they're messing with the DNA of the male, and they're messing with its sperm. So when it fertilizes the eggs, it'll go inside the egg, and regenerate stuff inside that egg, and the egg will be dead in 24 hours.
I like it.
Oh, okay. All right.
No,
that's just a quick thing that I'm saying here. So it's
well, they did it with what was it? Fruit flies in California. They figured out a way to sterilize them, and you know, the fruit fly problem got way better. And that's what we're talking: a silver bullet for CWD, a silver bullet for zebra mussels. You know, zebra mussels are, it's too late now, but these Asian carp, folks, I'm scared of these.
Yep, me too.
Of all the predators, of all the invasive species, I'm afraid they're bad. I don't know that they can survive in Rainy Lake, but, you know, I don't know how far north they could make it, but anyway.
They need moving water.
Yes, they do.
Okay. So,
and fish that are specialized, you know, they're more prone to be able to be whipped, because especially if they're really specialized, where, you know, like if you had a spawning problem for largemouth bass and you dumped a bunch of mud in the lake, you'd take care of the spawning problem.
Right? Can't fin it away, right?
You know, yeah. I mean, you know. So that's a good thing. Which is it? The University of Minnesota involved?
University of Minnesota, yep. Yes. And this guy in 2 years has made this big stride with it. So their biggest hurdle right now is, you know, they only spawn once a year, at least the carp they're using. Okay, so they're trying to do, you know, moon phases and lightning and all that stuff to speed it up so they can work on it. So. But well, at least it's part of the solution, hopefully. So.
Well, yeah, you know, those kind of grants, only an idiot would be upset over putting money into it. But I'll give you, I wasn't going to talk about this because it's a political thing. Let me just see, let me find it here, a new bill. Here's page 5 and out there. There's a new bill before our legislature that would take some DNR money. I think it was $270,000, and use it for educating Amish, Native Americans, and Southeast Asians on CWD.
Sorry, I'm laughing. Okay.
No, I mean, $200,000, that's a lot of money.
Not 28 bucks. We're talking.
First of all, that's racist.
Mm-hmm.
Are you assuming that the Amish people, the Native Americans and the Southeast Asians don't watch television, don't read English, because 99% of them are into whatever's going on in the world.
That's right.
You know, that we're not sick 200 years ago, or when a lot of Southeast Asians came into the country after Nam, a lot of the older people couldn't speak a word of English, but the young took over the hunting and fishing. They read, they're educated, they're smart people. Mm-hmm. They don't need a grant to teach them about CWD.
No.
My God, so there you go. I got that off my chest. I got to
what
talk
if,
about it.
What if CWD is the cure to the coronavirus?
Could be.
Could be. You never know. Hey, I got a call. On. Give it, yeah. What? Yeah. What? What were you saying?
Oh, no, yeah. Throw out our phone numbers.
Yeah, give the Waconia Ford Talkin' text line a call at 763-450-0100. And I got Matt on the line. Matt called a couple weeks back, or last week maybe. He's got a report on Devil's Lake for us. Matt, you're on with Larry and Larry.
Larry, how's it going?
Hey, Matt. Say hi to the other Larry. Larry and Larry.
Yeah, there's two Larrys now. What's going on over there?
Well, Marcus thinks he's fishing somewhere in the Keys.
Must be tough.
He deserves it.
Right? Yeah, I suppose. After putting up with Larry for all the time he does, I would have to take a vacation, too.
Well, he took last Sunday off, too, you know.
Yeah.
Made me talk all night by myself.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that enjoy it, I'm sure. No, I was going to go up to Devil's Lake this weekend. I never did make it, but I had a couple buddies go up there. And it was a little spottier than last time. It sounded like they had to move around quite a bit and didn't have quite as much success. But they did get a few of those big jumbo perch. But you know, it was nothing really to write home about. It sounds like so. Maybe them fish are kind of just staging up or kind of getting ready for the spring movement here. I don't know what's going to happen, but
well, they have a lot to eat there.
That's an issue. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. that lake is a wonder, but it just seems to me that the last, I think 5 or so years, the perch explosion that was is no longer.
Yeah, I don't think they're quite as thick as they used to be, and unfortunately I missed out on all that fun. I never did make it up there, kind of like those crappies on Red Lake. For some reason, I never made it there to catch those either.
Well, so, that's on whatever. You, Matt. Yeah. You know, when you live down where you live, you know, you got to spend a lot of money to go up north.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a lot of time, you know, is really what it comes down to. I mean, you know, if you got a fish house and a truck, I mean, you already have that stuff. So if you can get up there and try it, that's fine. It's just the time it takes to go there all the time, you know. And time away from home is time away from home, so it is what it is.
You live where you live, but you could move up north and get a job with Polaris or somebody, and you'd be closer.
Yeah, I've heard that's quite a fun place to work. It sounds like they got a good employee benefits program with their products.
So. If you're lucky enough to have a good-paying job up here, well, then you're lucky.
Right. Yeah.
Otherwise, you've got to wait till you retire.
If that day ever comes, you know. Mm. Yeah, but no, I've been kind of walking around the woods a little bit around here looking for some sheds and checking on the properties that I hunt. And, gosh, I got a heck of a trouble with people setting up deer stands on the properties, you know. Like, it seems like every time I go out, I find some random person's deer stand out there, you know?
This is private property?
Yeah, yep. And they run around and give you the runaround about, well, if it's not posted, then I can go out there. And it's like, well,
no.
Yeah. You know, what are you doing? You know, you can't, you know? And it's usually the neighbor guys, and they're hunting about 15 feet across the fence.
Yeah.
And it's like, why you got to pull that, you know?
I got that, too.
It's just miserable. Yeah.
Well, now if it has to be posted if it's forested.
Yep.
And it has to be signed.
Mm-hmm.
By the owner, whatever.
I'm going to spend a lot of time here making sure we're all posted legally on all them spots, just because I'm sick and tired of dealing with it. And spend a lot of time and effort putting in food plots and trying to keep the deer healthy and growing, and it's just like, you guys, I don't care if you hunt on your spot you got that's 10 feet over there, fine, that's all fine and dandy, but don't be 10 feet on this spot, you know. This is where I hunt, you know. Stay over there.
Well,
so it gets to be a battle. It's frustrating, but
yep.
Sorry,
your neighbors. Yep.
Yeah, so did you have a good time on your birthday? I kind of wonder about that, if you had a good birthday or not.
Let's see now. I don't know how old you are, but when you reach your 78th birthday,
that's all the more you get.
Call me and tell me how much fun you had. All my fun was getting there.
That'll be a heck of a phone call, Larry. That's about I'm only 36 now, so that's quite a ways down the road yet. But
I might not be around. I'm sorry, Matt.
Well, well, if you are, well, you'll be the first person I call. I know that.
Right. Well, we appreciate you, buddy. Keep it up and stay in touch.
Oh, yeah, I'll give you a call next week, Larry. Check in. Make sure you're still running around. So.
All right.
Goodbye, all right, bud. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, man.
There you go. Another avid outdoorsman. Or throw out the number,
763-450-0100. And we're up to our next break.
All right. Well, then, do I have a commercial on this break?
You do.
Okay, Bear Facts and Fish Tales, we shall be right back.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to Bear Facts and Fish Tales anytime.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Larry here from my buddy Frank DeSanko up in beautiful Chisago City, Minnesota, the number one Ranger dealer in the world. And that means he sells Ranger boats, which could be made fiberglass boats for fishing bass, fiberglass boats for fishing walleyes, pontoons, or aluminum Rangers. Hidden something. Now, he had a great boat show, which means he'll be having probably a pretty good selection of used boats as well. Maybe you just need an outboard motor. Whatever it is, whatever brand, doesn't matter. He'll get her done. They have a new showroom up there. Everything is on display. It's a big, beautiful showroom. They have an 8-stall service center headed up by his Joe and Bud, his sons, who have been rigging these boats for many, many years and doing repair work. Now, if you buy an $80,000 bass boat, it better be rigged correctly. I guarantee it. The boys know what they're doing when it comes to that. You don't get to be number one unless you give good prices and good service. 651-257-6334. That's their phone number. Frankies.net. You might want to shop, check out for used boats, whatever. Or drive on up to beautiful Chisago City, Minnesota. That's Frankies. Go there.
If you or someone you know has a great mechanical aptitude, understands trailers, can weld, and is looking for a great place to get a new job, Crystal Welding wants to talk to you. Crystal Welding is your go-to welding and fabrication shop for solutions, service, and results. And they're looking for a trailer mechanic to start immediately. Work for Crystal Welding because they're great people who get the job done right the first time. So if you or someone you know is looking for a new welding job, contact Crystal Welding at crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. Your jobs are small because we do it all.
Price drop alert. Lift tickets for Trollhagen Ski Resort are just $19 each, only for a limited time. Head to DealsOnRadio.com for more details.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
Hi, this is Tom Goodrich with Fishing for Life, and spring is in the air, so it's time to get ready. If you're looking to unload some of your old gear, that's rods, reels, tackle boxes, sportsman's gear, or even boats, Fishing for Life is the place to go. Why? We have over 500 volunteers rebuilding this stuff in the spring, getting it back to kids. Maybe you want to help in that department. Donate today or volunteer at fishingforlife.org. That's fishingforlife.org.
Now, more Bear Facts and Fish Tales with Mark and Larry. Join in the show by calling 763-450-0100.
All right, we're back. Bear Facts and Fish Tales, Mark and Larry. Larry Hansen is in the studio in lieu of Mark Fisher because Mark Fisher is he's in the Keys. That would be Florida for all you people who don't know what I'm talking about. Well, listen, Mr. Hansen, do you have anything on your mind, on your chest you'd like to get off?
There's not enough time, Larry. So okay.
Not enough time. Well, Dr. Larry is here.
Okay. All right.
You know, have you got any of that stuff?
Okay. Well, let's get into this the panfish thing they're going to do to 150 lakes. Do you know about that one?
Well, they've been doing it for 25 or 30 years. It's nothing new, but yes, no, talk about it.
No, I'm kind of for it. I just don't understand how it works, you know. Are they still going to stay stunted, only taking five? You know, I don't know the science behind it, Larry, so that's why I'm kind of bringing it up.
You
so.
Probably do know. You know more than you think you know.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about that every once in a while. I think a couple of weeks ago I talked a little bit about it. Why you don't want to kill the big...
Well, that, yes.
You know about that, right,
yeah,
Larry?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, is that what you wanted to talk about?
Well, yeah, but I still... Okay, so we only eliminated to five. Is that enough?
The genetics.
Is that enough?
Yeah.
Hopefully it's enough, but it's...
I mean, if you let's say, for instance, back in the day, when I was one of them, where I'd only take big sunfish,
right?
Because they're easier to fillet, and I like to eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we simplify everything and got everybody to think like you or I do, or many fishermen think, you know, of conservation, your brain should click in pretty quick. When somebody tells you that if you do that, you're going to screw up the breeding stock.
Absolutely. Yep.
And now I'll repeat this, folks. The male bluegill, okay, there's only a certain amount of the dominant. They're dominant, okay? And, of course, their genetics means that they'll pass their genes for bigger bluegills. When you kill them off, the smaller male bluegills will do the breeding. They'll lay the eggs, and then their genetics get in there where they overtake the lake, where now that's all that's left. You kill all the big ones, and the little ones will keep breeding, and then you're only going to have stunted male bluegills. It's pretty simple, right?
Right. Yep. I follow that. So here's one of my questions for you. So let's just take Tonka. All right, now that it's full of 8 and 9 inches, and it's only due to zebes. Even the perch, Larry, are now, there's many in that 10-plus inch range. Yep. Okay, it has nothing to do with climate change, all right? All it has to do with zebes. So in these other lakes, because of what you said, the smaller fish then spawn, and that's where they stay at. That's the key, correct?
That is the key, but it's... You know, I always try to. I'm not a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and when they talk over everybody, and then, so you think to yourself, well, wait a minute, let's just break it down. Common sense says, you know, I didn't know that the genetics of those big bluegills until a biologist explained it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so simplify it. If you kill all the big ones, the little ones take over because the genes are gone from the big ones. Pretty simple, but they don't say it like that. You know, they throw in all the... No, we know weather and all this other crap, global warming, zebra. You know, I know. It's not easy. It's complicated, but yet it's not.
Eliminate the big ones, and those genetics are there, and they're gone. So...
Okay, so
that makes sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, folks, they're only taking the lakes that have potential for that, where the lake does have a fair amount of big bluegills, and they don't want to lose them by overfishing.
Mm-hmm.
So some lakes never had big bluegills and probably never will because of, for whatever reason, food supply, whatever, spawning. It's complicated.
My biggest ones are, there was 2 10.5 inches. Those are the biggest.
Those are giants.
I ever caught. And that's, like 83, Larry, is the last time I had that.
Where did you catch them? What lake?
Hyde's Lake, west of Waconia.
Okay.
Okay, a little duck hunting lake.
Now, so, have you Is there still fish in that lake?
No, because everybody that particular time, Larry, people went there, the word went out, and people were just filling their 5-gallon buckets up.
But at the lake, did it get polluted since then, or no. Something happened, watershed, you know, like, you know?
No, it's just the way it's always been, but the big fish are all gone. So,
you know, like Lake Osakis, mm-hmm. you know, that has potential for really big panfish. I'll tell you another one, Long Lake in Brainerd, North Long Lake. Big bluegills in there. That's where I caught my biggest ever bluegill. It's about 11 inches long. I was fishing in 30 feet of water for walleyes with a night crawler.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got, I know, on Minnetonka, in the summertime, right? Talk about fishing for big bluegills in the summertime.
They're down.
Still a little.
They're deep, just like you said. They're in that 20 to 25 foot water. But there's so many now. That's fun to see. My grandfather's got to be smiling down on me, seeing what he never caught fish like I catch today on the sunfish side. And it's all due to the zebes, but it's deeper, and there's lots of them, and they spawn deep, you know, in 10, 12 feet of water. So
you actually could have seen that bluegill spawning in 10 or 12 feet of water? Or?
Yeah. Well, I just, when you pull them up, Larry, they're it's coming out
okay.
of them, both ways. So,
all right. So,
yep.
I suppose because the water did get clearer,
yes,
than it used to be, and they can move down deeper. And I don't know, Larry. I'm not arguing with you, but I don't know for sure that the zebra mussels are the reason. I believe in, like you do, that eating them doesn't. That's another's food supply, right? Is
right.
that where you're going?
That's where I'm going, and it's the only
right.
thing that's changed. So,
well, the water got getting clearer,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And that's more cover, more weed depth,
and they're,
plus more food.
When you put them in your live well, your live well looks like pepper on the bottom of your live well. When you fillet them, the zebes are in there, and they're crushed, and they're whole, and they're everything that you could possibly think of. And
why don't you write a letter to Outdoor News?
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I can do that.
You write a letter to Outdoor News, and they'll print it, I guarantee you, and ask the DNR why they don't talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
When the commissioner was on there, I should have asked her, but, you know, that isn't her. She got a lot of problems. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
very interesting.
And here's why I'm going to. Okay, so everybody's been swimming, standing, and they've been pecked by a sunfish.
Right.
And most people, it's either a freckle or a hair or something. So now these zebra mussels are on stalks. They're on dock posts. Okay, so stalks of wheat. They just come up and pick them off of there. And it's just another food source. They figured it out. So
do you think they can eat a big zebra mussel, or they're taking the tiny ones? It's easier to crush themselves.
Larry, that's what I think. I haven't seen big ones. I've seen, you know,
okay.
smaller ones anyway. And
that's very interesting. You know, now the fish detective, we should call him.
He'll probably argue with me, but that's the truth.
No, you can't. You take him fishing.
Yeah, I can, and you can flame right my boat if you want.
No. You would eyeball to eyeball. You're on the lake at least 3 or 4 times a week, right? All summer.
All summer,
I mean,
but say 7 days a week. It's pretty much like 28 days a month minimum. So.
All right. Okay. So you can observe all these things. Now,
yes.
Do you see less zebra mussels on weeds than you did 3, 4 years ago? I mean, in other words, are you seeing a decline? Physically, with your eyes?
I haven't seen that yet, Larry. I've been waiting for it to happen, you know. So, no, I haven't seen that.
Well, but you're not seeing vast weed beds disappearing, are you?
No.
So that means the weeds are relatively healthy.
Yes.
So they're not being... So you are... So that has a lot to do with... Probably you're right. That never happened because the sunfish kind of kept them under control.
I think so. You know how many sunfish are in Minnetonka? I mean, it's millions, right?
You got my wheels turning.
Okay. So, yeah.
Okay. The lake up in by Nisswa, Breezy Point.
Pelican? Osawatomie?
Osawatomie.
Yep.
Osawatomie. Zeebs have been in there for 20 years, a long time.
Right.
My friend has a cabin on the lake. Mm-hmm. There's no big explosion. The weed beds never died off.
No.
The zebra mussels are not everywhere. And guess what's in the lake? Loads of sunfish.
There you go. Yeah.
Every lake that has a good, healthy weed bed and a good, healthy supply of American sunfish has not or will ever have an explosion like can happen on Lake Mille Lacs, lakes, big clear bodies of water that have, you know, don't have a lot of panfish in it. So the mesotrophic lakes are more susceptible to zebras than the eutrophic lakes,
right?
By far.
I would say so.
I got a call here that might shed some light on the topic. I got John from Bloomington on the line. He's got something about sunnies and zebes. John, you're on with Larry and Larry.
I like it.
Okay, about 10 years ago, I was going to Alaska. The guy sitting next to me on the plane ride was a fisheries biologist for the U.S. Forest Service.
Okay.
So we talked at length. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the zebra mussel issue. He said, when you first see an infestation, stock the lake with red-eared sunfish.
There you go.
They gobble them up. That was his first thing out of his mouth. They love them.
Well, yeah. Guess what bluegills do, too?
Yeah. Well, red-eared sunfish, I was a kid growing up on Woman Lake. We caught them all the time.
Mm-hmm. Red-eared is a southern brand.
Is it?
Yeah, those are bluegills and pumpkin seeds.
Oh, okay.
Red-eared,
okay.
Yeah, red-eared sunfish is a southern sunfish that looks just like a bluegill, you know, basically, kind of, yeah.
But they
anyway,
love them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he also talked about, this guy was from Mississippi, and his first project, he had to do something for the state of Mississippi. He had to eliminate invasive weeds in a lake because they wanted to manage it for walleye. They stocked it with sterile carp, grass-eating carp. And then to get rid of the carp, they just hold the bow shooter contest. And he said it worked out beautifully. It took about 8-10 years, but it worked out wonderfully.
Huh. But they had the means to put sterilized carp in there.
Yes. And he said you get them anywhere.
Yeah.
You just got to buy them.
Well, but those are probably common German carp?
I don't know.
Yeah, common carp, would you call them, yeah.
Yep.
So.
Well, that's the idea.
Yep, and I can add to this. When Zeebs came to Minnetonka, so we had them just for maybe a year or so, I get a gentleman from NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric,
okay. Thank you, sir.
Yep. Okay. So, and he was based on Lake Erie and then had to move to Lake Michigan, and his science is what's in the water column. So he's not a fisheries biologist. He's what's in the water. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that told me that they're going to be eaten, and he had flayed so many walleyes and so many whitefish on both bodies of water that were full of zebra mussels. And he was here for a wedding. That's why I got the guy. Okay. And his name is Andy. And he just said, no. And I said, do they eat the veligers? He says, of course they will. And he said, sure. Then they will also eat the shell, eat it. And I got to witness this. So anyway.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to let you guys go. Thanks.
Oh, thanks, John. That was great, man.
Thanks for the call. It's the same thing with spiny water fleas. They came into the state, I don't know, 20 years, I don't know. They were discovered in Lake Superior or whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay. And, of course, they found out that they didn't think the perch would eat them because of their spine. Well, 10, 15 years ago, they admitted that everything is eating the piney water fleas, too. Okay. Look, we got coronavirus threatening the world right now. Mm-hmm. And it's probably not even any deadlier. As many people die of the flu every year.
Very good, Larry.
Yeah. I mean, we go on and on and on and on. And why are we doing this to ourselves? No, I'm not a dummy. If there was a black plague, I'd be really worried, because one out of three people in Europe died of that. That's mm-hmm. pretty good odds. You're doomed. If you know. Mm-hmm. But so far, the odds of recovering from, especially if you are in America, are pretty darn good from coronavirus.
Yeah, wasn't it like 2% it was fatal to or whatever? So it was a pretty low deal. But yeah. You know, I think that you do got to be a little skeptical, though, when it's always something, and they just move on to the next big scare.
Now it's a political issue.
Wasn't vaping...
They're using it for politics.
Yeah, well, and it's always political. It's a political football. But wasn't vaping just killing a bunch of people recently, and we seem to have stopped talking about that? That's been moved on, and I don't know of any solution.
Yeah, but that's easy to cure. You just don't do it.
Right, but that's just the thing. Is like nothing's changed. It's just we've stopped talking about it.
It ain't as scary as a virus.
Right. This will stop talking about the coronavirus, and then it'll be something the new thing.
Well, I just want to be able to get in my boat, and I want to come down to Minneapolis in April to go to the sports show.
Right.
Well, we'll make sure we're not quarantined.
Without wearing a mask.
The mask, yeah. That'll be the new look for the boat show. Masks all over the place.
If you can find a mask to wear.
Right, there's a shortage on masks.
No, we have 40 million of them already. You guys got to keep up with it.
Well, it's about top of the hour. Let's hit it.
All right. Bear Facts and Fishtails, we shall be back.
You're listening to Bear Facts and Fishtails, part of Bob Outdoors. Mark and Larry are ready to take your calls at 763-450-0100. That's 763-450-0100. Everyone has their favorite movie of all time. Maybe Winners kept us stuck inside too long, but we started ranking them. Movie Madness is taking over Bob Country next month. We need your help ranking the best movies of all time. We're starting off with 32 movies facing off head-to-head in their genres and narrowing down the victors round by round until there's only one movie left. What is the greatest movie of all time? Help us find out when Movie Madness begins on Monday.
If you or someone you know has a great mechanical aptitude, understands trailers, can weld, and is looking for a great place to get a new job, Crystal Welding wants to talk to you. Crystal Welding is your go-to welding and fabrication shop for solutions, service, and results. And they're looking for a trailer mechanic to start immediately. Work for Crystal Welding because they're great people who get the job done right the first time. So if you or someone you know is looking for a new welding job, contact Crystal Welding at crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done.
The best showcase of Minnesota Bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You don't have to go all the way to Ireland to enjoy an authentic Irish atmosphere. Drake O'Neill's Irish American Pub has all the charm of the Emerald Isle right here in Minnesota. Just west of Highway 101 in Otsego, Drake's is open 7 days a week. They have 42 Irish whiskeys and all your favorite Irish beers, including Drake's Irish Red. And the highest quality, handcrafted, made-to-order pub foods like shepherd's pie, fish and chips, patty melts, and pub fries. And you gotta try their bangers and mash. Best of all, there are no strangers here, only friends you haven't met yet. Drake O'Neill's Irish American Pub, a place for good taste.
To all military veterans, please stop by the Spectacle Shop when you need prescription glasses and receive half off your eyewear. Not just your eyewear, we'll also take half off prescription glasses purchased by immediate family members. The Spectacle Shop is in Uptown Minneapolis, Grand and Lexington in St. Paul, and on Silver Lake Road in New Brighton. The Spectacle Shop is owned by a veteran who would like to say thank you to all military veterans.